Bill, I'm glad you sang that. Because you know how you glance at something and you don't pay close attention? I thought it said Bill Giles. He was right down, and I missed a line. And I knew if Bill Giles was singing, we were in trouble. Cause that'd be, and I can say that because that'd be like me singing. So, I mean, we're on the same page. He might could do a little Bob Dylan and get that done. But thank you for that. And choir, thank you for that. All your singing's good, and the video's good. How Memorial Day started, it said it started by the thing, general or whatever for the United States Army. The story I like, and it's a little bit of our Southern heritage, was that in Mississippi in 1868, there was a group of women from a church put flowers on all the soldiers' graves that had fought in the Civil War, both Union and Confederate, and they called it Memorial Day. And the folks from up north, they started out calling it Decoration Day. Many of you have heard it called Decoration Day, but it is good that we remember those folks who gave their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we have today. And Kelly, thank you for getting all that together, because I don't know if school's teaching or not, but we need to make sure that people realize that somebody paid the price for us having the freedoms that we have. And today my sermon title is kind of dealing with thinking about memorials, what we're going to leave behind when we die. And last time I checked, unless the Lord comes back, all of us are probably going to die. And I know Moses went to the mountaintop and Enoch walked with God and was with no more. And last time I checked, none of us are quite that good. And so we're probably going to die. But what are we going to leave when it's all said and done? And the question that I have for you is for us, can you build something that outlives you? Think about the folks that have gone on before us, what they left behind. I know that when I get all sentimental and begin to think about memorializing people, I think about my grandpa, who was very close to me, and he went on to be with the Lord several years ago. But that old man's still alive. When I look at my watermelon patch, I see my papa. When I was on his old tractor, I think about my papa. When I began to study God's word, I think about my papa and how seriously he took it and how he lived it. And then I guess the other person that is close to me that has died was Ann's mama. When I think about her, I just think about a godly woman, a woman who... To think about her was to think about somebody walking in step with God, because she was that good. And her daughter's not bad either. But I thought I'd say that, or you might be having a memorial service for me. But but it's not just about us. It's about what we leave. It's about what we do while we're here. And it's so sad to think that somebody would die, somebody would leave, and not make any difference while they were here. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, we read these words, and Solomon, the writer of Proverbs, a wise man, he says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." You know, if we leave a bunch of stuff behind as far as material things, it's going to disappear one day. Somebody that's worthless is going to get your stuff. But those things that we leave behind, like the good words that we give, the teachings that we leave, they last forever. And so I ask you today, what inheritance are you leaving for those who come behind you? In the last couple of weeks, we've had people doing monologues, and started to do that today because we've been talking about telling a good story. And I want us to think about telling a good story. And I want us to think about two stories. And these are the stories of Moses and Joshua. And I want you to turn your attention to two passages of Scripture. And the first one is the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading verses 1 through 9. It says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, but just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, and all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land that I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you will have success wherever you go. This book, God's word, of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua is thrown into the situation of taking over. And God gives him this thing. He said, Moses trained you. And so for the good story part one today, let's look at Moses. And Moses did these things that we should each one try to do in our lives. He prepared those who came behind him. Joshua had been Moses' assistant, and Moses prepared him. He taught him. He taught his family everything you do to follow God. And Moses left this world, and he left things better. Moses came from nothing, and he ended with something. He walked with God, and he left a great legacy. What will they say about us when we are gone? Will they say, oh, Bruce was a pretty good fella, and stop? Will they say, I hate old Bruce is gone, and they stop? Or they say, Bruce made a difference in this world while he was here. And I hope that someone somewhere can say that I touched their life in some way. I hope that the time I spend walking on earth, from the time I got here on July 28th, 1961, to the time I die, I hope somebody can say that I made some kind of difference in somebody's life. I hope that when my girls carry on the tradition that Ann and I have taught them, that they will follow God, and they will be godly people, and that they will train their kids that way. And just like Moses, it won't stop. It'll go on to the coming generations. Then I want us to look at another passage of Scripture, a passage from Judges chapter 2. And this is talking about Joshua. Judges is right behind Joshua in your Bibles if you turn in the Scripture and begin reading chapter 2, verse 1. He says, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land that I promised your fathers. I also said, I will never break my covenant with you. You are not to make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You are to tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore, I must now say, I will not drive out these people before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a trap for you. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these words to all the Israelites, the people wept loudly. So they named the place Bochim and offered their sacrifices to the Lord. Previously, Joshua had sent the people away. The Israelites had gone to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people worshiped the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetime of the elders who outlived Joshua. They had all seen the Lord's great works and what he had done for Israel. Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at age 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim north of Gash. The whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors. After them, another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. In all of his greatness, in all the good that he had done, this man Joshua forgot to prepare someone to take over the lead for the people of Israel. He was a good man, a godly man, but when he died, he left things in a mess. He lived for God, he followed God, but he didn't train those who were younger. The legacy stopped with him. Do you see the two contrasts in those people? Moses was a good man. Joshua was a good man. They both served God very much the way God wanted them to serve him. But Moses made sure that when he died, things went on. And when Joshua died, it stopped. And it said there was a whole generation who didn't follow God. On this Memorial Day, what does this say to us? First thing I would say to you is this, that if you're not doing such a good job of leaving a legacy, that it's not too late to start. Do you know the story of Moses? When Moses was 40 years old, he flew mad and killed a man. Y'all remember that story? You know, Moses was an Israelite. He was happened to be living in the king's palace, and he was being called a prince because he had been adopted. But when he saw the Egyptian people mistreating his people, and I guess there was a slave owner or a boss out in the yard where they were making bricks or whatever they were doing, he struck one of the Israelites, and Moses flew mad and killed him. Boom. 40 years old. And he went on the run. And for 40 years, he lived outside his homeland. And then when he was about 80 years old, God spoke to him through a burning bush. Y'all remember that story? Now, how many of y'all would, if you were walking out in the desert and a bush was on fire, but it wasn't burning, and it started talking to you, would stand there and listen to it? I'd break a track record. I'd be gone. But he was 80 years old. Anybody in here 80 years old that'll admit it? Bill? Somebody Bill's age. Now, Bill, you're retired, right? Still getting it, though. You're doing good. But can you imagine at 80 years old starting a ministry and going to go deliver a people? The energy's gone. Somebody asked me this morning. I was kidding. Somebody this morning, I was staring at them's class if they were behaving. They said, of course. And I said, my parents make me behave. Mother Nature and Father Time. I'm getting old. I'm not going to be too rambunctious. It's amazing how I used to stay up to 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, by 10 o'clock now, I'm propping those eyeballs open. You know, something happens. Tim, you know what I'm talking about. But at 80 years old, God gave Moses a task. And the Bible says that he was somewhere around 80 because he first spoke to Pharaoh when he was 80 years old. And at 80 years old, that's when he began his legacy. Because that's when he started doing what God wanted him to do. And the story goes that he kept going to Pharaoh and kept going to Pharaoh and kept going to Pharaoh and telling Pharaoh what was going to happen. And finally, Pharaoh let the people go. And then, I don't know how old, somewhere 80, 81, 82, the people were delivered and Moses kind of disobeyed God. And he said they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they went to the promised land. But Moses lived that whole 40 years. And we're told that he died when he was 120 years old. Don, you and Ray, y'all got a little ways to go to get to be as old as Moses was, but y'all doing good. Y'all just keep at it. And we might say y'all live to be 120 as well. But I would say to you today that it's never too late to start a legacy. If you're here today and you're a mother or a father, and you haven't done such a good job in living your life in a way that's pleasing to God, and your kids haven't seen you, day's the day to change. You might need to go to your children. You may need to go to your grandchildren and say, I have failed miserably in living the way that God wants me to live. But you can say from this day forward, I'm going to try to do what is right. Leave a legacy and make sure that those coming behind you know the way to Christ. Joshua was a good man. He was such a good man that you remember the story over there and on later in Joshua toward the end, chapter 22, 24, somewhere in there, where he calls the people together and he says, you know, y'all can serve who you want to serve, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He served the Lord. He just didn't do such a good job of passing it along. And don't ever hear me beating Joshua up because he was a godly man, but he failed in making sure that the gospel was passed along. Then maybe you're here today and like myself, you've inherited a great legacy. I come from a whole bunch of God-fearing Caldwells. And my mama's people, I didn't know a lot of them, but they were God-fearing people too. But that bunch of Caldwells up there in Balls Creek, they started Mount Rahama Baptist Church. And there's been preachers and teachers and deacons, and a few of them got church a time or two, but they got it straightened out back in the day. But I come from a strong legacy of people who claim to be followers of God and basically good people. And if you're here today and you fall in that category, be thankful. Thank God every day from where you've come from. You know, I never had to worry too much about home because mom and dad were always there. They were always there taking me to church. And you know, they're getting older, but I need to thank them every day for what they've done for me. Then I would say to you, if you come from that strong legacy, honor it. Honor it and pass it along. Let those who follow you be able to say they are what they are because of you. You know, when I get to heaven one day, and I don't know exactly how heaven works, and if I were to stand up here and tell you I had all the answers about heaven, I'd be making something up and y'all would know it. But I hope when I get there, I see Papa and Mama and my grandma on Mama's side sitting there. And I can say, thank you for what you did, for what you led me to do. Now, Mom and Dad's still alive and need to tell them every day, thank you for what you've done. But I hope after I've been there for a while and a long while, and then my kids get there. And if I ever have any grandkids, I hope they can come and say to me, Grandpa or Papa or whatever name, they'll probably give me some kind of corny name or something. They can say, thank you for what you've done for me. So make sure that if you have that legacy, that you honor it. I say they're liable to give me some kind of name because my girls tell me that when I get old, they're going to send me in that rest home going down 64 toward Morganton, right there before you get to 221, that one down in the hole, it looks like it'd be scare you to death, you know, and they say if I better behave or that's where they're going to send me, so they'll probably give me, they'll probably have their kids give me some kind of crazy name just to aggravate me, but then maybe you're here today and you didn't come from a godly home. Maybe you didn't inherit a great legacy. And my challenge to you today is this, that you would surrender yourself to God. that right here and right now that you would say before God, God, I am going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to begin a legacy that starts right here and right now. Then I would say to you this, that the beautiful thing about God is the past is gone and he doesn't remember it. One of my favorite things in the Bible is God's forgiveness. And it says, I forgive you as far as the east is from the west. It's gone forever. And maybe you're here today and you just need to start over, start right now. Do it today. And just like those who had a good legacy, let those who follow you be able to say that they are what they are because of you. Then I would say to you that if you didn't inherit a great legacy, or you did inherit a great legacy, but you were not at all living for Christ, that right here, right now, that you would surrender to him, not worrying about a legacy, but let's worry about where we are right now. The world is miserable because they don't know Christ. If you want peace, if you want contentment, give your life to Christ. Give him all your sins, let him forgive you. Start over with a clean slate and begin a great legacy. And once again, the past is gone. And if you do that today, those who come behind you will be able to say they are what they are because of what you are. And finally, I ask you again, what will you leave behind? When it's said and done, will you be like Moses? And God's work will continue for generations because of you. Or will you be like Joshua and it just kind of come to a screeching halt because you didn't prepare someone to come behind you? One part of my job that I have to do, one part of the job that we have as ministers that we don't often enjoy because it's a time of sadness, is standing here when there's a casket there. And when you come and stand over this casket or this thing of ashes or a picture because they've already been, however they do it, and you come and stand over this saintly, godly person, it's easy to do a funeral. People will say, you did a good job at that funeral. And I'm like, I didn't do a good job. I just talked about them. Because they left a legacy. But the thing that is hard to do is when you are standing here or sometimes at the funeral home, because the person really wasn't involved in church and you're having to do a funeral, and the person you're trying to talk about, no, she was a low-down, dirty, rotten scoundrel. Makes life hard. And I'm not going to lie. What do you say? What are you going to leave behind? Make it easy. Susie, what that thing say you gave me, live your life so that when you die, your pastor doesn't have to lie about you. That's a good saying, isn't it? You know, we're about to close, but we still got plenty of time. Julie told me to preach fast. She was hungry. There was a man that died, and he wanted to have his funeral at the church. And he was the sorriest man in town, and that old preacher didn't know what to do. And his brother, they were all rich. His brother came and said, preacher, if you'll say something good about my brother, I'll give your church $1 million. Preacher scratched his head, and he struggled with that. And he got to funeral time, and he stood up, and he said this. He said he was a dirty, rotten scoundrel, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. Got his $1 million and didn't lie, right? In all seriousness, live your life that the legacy you leave behind speaks volumes about you being a godly person. And if you will live your life so that the things that you leave behind leave volumes that talk about you being a godly person, you will have the most content, you will have the happiest life you could ever ask for. Because I assure you this, that happiness and peace doesn't come from running in worldly ways. True happiness and true peace come from serving God. And that's what we all want, to be happy, to be content. Our invitation hymn is going to be hymn number 282, Living for Jesus, because that's what it's all about. If you're here today and you don't know Christ and you need to make that start to having a legacy, come see me, and we'll talk about how to make sure that you have Christ in your heart. If you're here and your legacy kind of stinks and you want to straighten it up, ask God to forgive you. If you're here and you don't have a church home and you want to make Spencer Church the home where you help start your legacy to leave behind, we'll be glad to have you come and be a part of the ministry that we have here at this church. Kelly, come and lead us as we sing together. Would you stand?